It's more sophisticated, yet less complicated. It's more powerful, yet less cumbersome. It can store vast amounts of yesterday, or tell you what's in store for tomorrow. It can draw a picture, or it can draw conclusions. It's a personal computer from Apple, and it's as easy to use as this. Macintosh, the computer for the rest of us.
That's the best 30-plus-minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. I'm your host, Irfan Elijah. Join me today with Leander Caney out of town. He's the big kahuna now. He's wearing spandex, drinking the Stellas. He even headbutted a Whole Foods checker who got too lippy. Lewis Wallace is here.
That is correct. I've been walking around the office with a scepter. It's really great.
and the L. Caney mammal suit, the full Lycra outfit that is resemblant of Freddie Mercury's stage outfit. I'll never understand that. I mean, if you're going to go get the biking outfit, fine. But why wear the ballerina half or three quarter spandex suit on your bike? That doesn't make any sense to me.
I just don't get the whole bicycling thing. And then you got the little shoes that are walking around like you got like, I don't know, click, 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 click.
Yeah.
You know, just stumbling around.
Does he have the shoes that click into the bike? Of course he does.
Yeah, yeah. So then you try to walk around like on ground, and you're it's like you've got...
you sound like you're an attempt at
golf balls attached to the bottom of your feet, one per side.
Yeah. It's funny, too, because the guys I always see decked out in the full biking regalia are always the guys who they have serious muffin top.
Serious what?
Muffin top. You know what I mean? The guys I always see decked out in all the full biking gear are the guys who look like they actually haven't been biking all that often or all that long. But I think it's easy to be a gearhead in any industry, and rather than doing the hard work and just getting on the bike and going out there and riding, you're like, what gear do I need? I need a better bike. I need better shoes. I need to get the shirt, like the tight shirt with the pockets on the back so I can reach my power bars. And you spend all your time shopping for gear rather than riding your actual bike. And then you end up as Muffin Top Man, where you're hunched over your bike and you're just like, you look like you're pregnant.
Jeez. Well, the good thing is they stretch those shirts.
Yeah, they are very, very. So
maybe they bought them 10 years ago.
Maybe. I think they're too stretchy, actually, revealing too much. Okay. Well, we have surprisingly a lot of Apple stuff to talk about this week. It's usually pretty slow in the summertime. You know, there's just not a whole lot going on. Even though we are going to be getting all new iPhones next month. Can you believe that? I mean, what's the date today? It's August 14th. We're probably going to have an Apple announcement in the next 3 to 4 weeks. So new iPhones are on the way, and we got a very delicious iPhone leak just today. This just came out today. And it has some of the juiciest iPhone 11 tidbits yet. Lewis is going to tell us all about those. Also, Apple Card, it's shipping. We have some unboxing videos now. And I did a bunch of research. I pulled out all the interesting tidbits about the Apple Card, what people like, what people don't like. And we're going to talk about the pros and cons of Apple Card. So what are the good things about it? What are the bad things about it? Who is this card for? Was a question I found myself asking. Actually, more specifically, is this the card for me? Is this the card that I want? Many of you know I am a serious shopping research. Before I buy anything, before I commit to anything, I do a ton of research, probably like a lot of you guys. And I also want to get a good deal. I like getting a great deal. And there are a lot of credit cards out there that get you all these different kinds of perks that I'm familiar with. So I've been comparing the Apple Card to those kinds of credit cards. So we'll talk about that. And we're going to wrap up with a story. Lewis, our European listeners, they reach out to me daily. And they tell me, Irfan, I love this story. Will you please talk about MoviePass? And so I've got a very juicy MoviePass story lined up. This is an update that I thought MoviePass was done, but here we are getting even more updates, and this might be one of the best ones yet. And this just goes to show the MoviePass shenanigans are way worse than we ever even imagined possible. This is one of the craziest MoviePass stories that I've seen yet, and it just goes to show how zany and bizarre this company really is. And there have been a lot of stories that we've done. Remember when we were talking about how they were sending out emails to previous customers promoting... they wanted you to vote. I think one of them was like, make sure you get out there and vote. And then another one was like promoting T-Mobile phone service. They've sent out a bunch of strange emails, but this is one of the strangest stories that I've seen so far. Let's see here. Before we dive into our iPhone 11 story here, let me say thank you to Squarespace for supporting this episode. If you need a website, squarespace.com/cultcast is where you need to head. Maybe you are starting a business. Maybe you have a business and you don't have a website set up yet. Maybe you're a student. You're trying to promote your services. You want people to see what you can do. A website is a great way to do that. Of course, it's also great if you're having a special event, weddings, if you are having a graduation party. Squarespace has this one page impactful website that you can build really quickly, which has a really large video or background image. And it's a great, simple way to put up a website quick that has an impact. You can start a blog. You can sell products and services of all kinds. You can build an Apple Pay. Squarespace is constantly adding new features. They've got great customer service, and it's dead simple to put up a website quick. Head on over to squarespace.com/cultcast. Build a website. See how you like it. If you want to continue your service after the 2-week free trial, just enter code CULTCAST at checkout. You'll save 10% off your first purchase. And if you order a year of service, you'll get an additional discount and a free domain name at squarespace.com/CULTCAST. Let's talk about iPhone 11 secrets, because a leaker revealed some very interesting iPhone 11 information. Is that right, Lewis? I'm sure you were excited.
Yeah, these are some big ones straight out of China. Phew. Yeah, supposedly, this stuff comes from an apparent Foxconn insider. I think it's somebody who doesn't work there anymore, but now is sharing what they know about this year's iPhones. Uh-huh. And they're saying that this year, the iPhone 11 and its larger sibling will be available in 4 color options, including one we've never seen before. Okay. Care to take a guess?
Oh, boy. I could only hope. I could only hope they're going with pink, some kind of pink color.
Yeah, that seems like that would be more likely. That actually does seem like,
yeah, actually, that is true.
To be quite honest.
It does seem like they would do a pink color before this one.
Yeah, but so yeah, this year, supposedly the big three, gold, silver, and space gray.
Yeah.
We've complained a little bit about this before. It gets a little tiresome. Anyway, supposedly this time they're going to come with a dark green option.
Woo!
Having a hard time figuring out exactly what it's going to look like. I hope that it's more of a bright green than a forest green.
You don't mean like a lime green, do you?
No, I mean more like something shiny and, just like an intense green more than like, Eddie Bauer green.
Well, you know what they say about green, Lewis?
What do they say?
It's the color that geniuses pick.
Is that right?
Yes, that's true. Did you also know that it's very simple to milk a cat? You could just get down in there. You could actually milk anything with nipples, Lewis. Practically anything.
I have nipples, Irvine. Milk me.
Well,
I remember a line from a movie.
You actually remembered?
Might be the first time
ever. A line. I thought I was going in cold there. I didn't know what was going to happen. But for the first time in CultCast history, you actually remembered a reference from a movie. And to answer your question, Lewis, I don't know, but I'd be willing to give it a shot.
Thank God you live up in the Northwest.
I'm getting in my car after this show. I'm grabbing the grease. I'm coming down.
Oh, boy.
Okay, so dark green, which actually I like green a lot, clearly. And I think that Apple's design team usually does a really good job choosing the right shade of color. So I think I might be interested in a dark green. I do hope that you're right, that we don't get like a Hunter green. I've never been a big fan of Hunter green. Never been a big fan.
Yeah, Hunter Thompson, yes. Hunter green, no.
Absolutely, 100%. Okay, let's continue.
Yeah, so there's other little details in this report. they're saying that it's going to have a lightning connector, not USB-C, and that storage options, 64 gigabyte, 256 gigabyte, 512 gigabyte.
Again with the 64. Again with the 64.
Yeah. Well, you know, ridiculous. Somebody's got to get suckered into the entry-level tier, I suppose.
Well, I get it. That's the one I go for. Although this year I went 256 because the XR, I mean, it was so cheap to do 256. It just didn't make any sense not to. It was an extra $50 to go from 128 to, or from 64. I think the base, I take it back. It was 128. I went from 64 to 128 for $50, which, you know, is a pretty good deal. Sorry. Continue, please.
Yeah. The last big thing in this particular little batch of leaks is that this thing, supposedly the iPhone 11 Max, which will replace the iPhone XS Match, unfortunately. Yeah. Huh? Yeah. This supposedly boasts a 3,969 milliamp hour battery, and that's about a 21% increase over the current large size iPhone. So that will be completely well received, I'm sure. You know, although, that's probably the number one complaint, right?
I would be shocked, though, if we actually got any significant increase in battery life. Just year over year, historically, they never give us big increases in battery life. They find a way to use the extra battery. I mean, it's true.
Burn it up.
Well, yeah, exactly. They just use the power in other ways. So, although that is a pretty big increase in size, so maybe we'll get like an extra hour or something. It won't be drastic, though. I guarantee you it won't be drastic.
Yeah.
Now, let me add real fast. Okay. I was going to let you do this part, but I wanted to mention it because there was a rumor from a Twitter Apple leaker. He doesn't tweet very often, and he said something along the lines of the iPhone is going to be called, I'm paraphrasing here, is going to be called the iPhone Pro. So they're going to be changing the name of the iPhone Max to the iPhone Pro. I thought that was interesting, Lewis, because I don't know if you remember. What was it, like a year ago this time? Actually, probably almost exactly a year ago this time, when they were first introducing the Max model, I said, this makes me think they're going to be calling the Max the Pro, right? We have the MacBook Pro. We have the iMac Pro. We have the Mac Pro. Why not have a Pro version of the iPhone? We have a Pro version of the iPad. I think that they're going to change the name of the Max to the iPhone Pro. And that makes no difference whatsoever in any other capacity other than it makes me feel real good about myself.
Well, there was just another leak just today.
Yeah.
Saying, this is from a case maker. I can't remember off the top of my head exactly which one it was, but they're saying that it's going to be called, there's going to be three phones.
Yeah.
It's going to be called the iPhone 11.
Yep.
The iPhone 11 Pro and the iPhone 11 Pro Max.
Oh, you gotta be kidding me.
Yeah. That's, it's another.
Which one of those would be the 10R? Would that be the
iPhone 11?
The iPhone 11. They're gonna make that the base model.
Which,
okay.
I mean, to me, this makes sense to get rid of the R. I mean, does anybody know what it means? It doesn't roll off the tongue. To me, that was one of the craziest names they've rolled out in ages.
Me too. The entire naming convention was really not well thought through. This is an ongoing problem for Apple, too. I feel like they have a hard time sticking with naming conventions.
This would be much better, in my opinion.
This makes way more sense. Right. The iPhone, the base level has the liquid retina screen, not OLED. And then you have the Pro. Exactly. This makes way more sense. I bet you that's exactly what they're going to do. That's probably exactly what they're going to do.
Why don't they call the other one the iPhone 11 Air, though? Maybe that's why they said R. It's like the way a pirate says Air.
Yeah.
The iPhone Air.
I doubt that, but,
Hey, it's my best guess.
That's a decent guess. I give that guess a 5 out of 10.
Oh.
What?
I left out one other thing. Supposedly, on the back of these phones, the back glass surface is going to have a different kind of surface. It's going to have, supposedly, a matte finish. And the most crazy part of this rumor roundup here, supposedly, there won't be an Apple logo on the back of the phone. That part I don't buy. That almost makes all this seem not real to me.
That's exactly what I thought when I read that. It almost makes it seem like this entire leak is just totally bogus.
Yeah.
Them not putting their branding on the back, why would they do that, even if they're going matte?
Yeah, I have no... To me, maybe should have said that at the very beginning.
No, I still think a lot of the details in this will probably pan out, but that is an interesting That is an interesting tidbit. The other thing is, I know people think that this current phone is pretty slippery, but I find that glossy surfaces are actually less slippery than matte surfaces. So I don't think that making it matte is going to make it less slippery by any means. In fact, it might make it more slippery in my estimation. I don't know why glossy things tend to not be as slippery. I'm touching my iPhone as we speak right now. I got my fingertips on it and I'm rubbing it back and forth. And I mean, they're sticking, man. I can barely move this thing around. Maybe I just have extraordinarily well articulated fingertips.
Like Spider-Man.
Maybe. I mean, maybe I've got deep ridges on the tips, you know? Like if you were Leander, because I know his tips are like old and worn off, which is why he can never use Touch ID. And his hands are always dry. But my hands are like moist. The tips are well defined, you know? I got great tips. I've been told
good to know.
I had my tips done at a police station for a background report, and the guy was like, he was like raising his eyebrows up and down. And I was like, "What's going on?" He's like, "You got great tips." I was like, "Thank you, sir. I appreciate that, Captain." Anyway, let's talk about Apple Card. So, Apple Card is out. I'm sure some of you have already received yours. It is being shipped on a first-come, first-served basis, it seems. So people who signed up for notifications are starting to receive their actual Apple cards, or people who signed up for the card, I should say. But not everyone has gotten it yet. And there was a great unboxing done by MKBHD on YouTube. Of course, he got his before everyone else's. And he's got like an $80,000 camera set up. So you get a really good look at the unboxing experience. It's, of course, very Apple-esque. The card comes in this envelope. The physical card comes in this envelope. And it's a beautiful envelope. You open it and the metal card is revealed to you. And it has an NFC chip built into the packaging. And then you just touch your iPhone to the actual package. And boom, it pops up with this menu on your phone, just like you're activating or connecting your AirPods for the first time. It has this beautiful card animation, and then your card is activated. But aside from the beauty of it, what are the benefits of the actual card? So let's talk about that. By the way, I did link to that video if you want to take a look at it, if you're not sure how to find it on YouTube, which I don't know why you wouldn't.
How
do I use YouTube? I can't find this. This video from this extremely popular YouTuber. What are you saying?
I was surprised by that activation. That was pretty slick, you know? I mean, I was glad to see that they're using that for things other than AirPods.
Like, yeah, it is very cool, isn't it? It's definitely one of those things that gets you. It just comes out and grabs you. You're like, whoa, good one, Tim. Yeah. Good one, Tim. You kind of hear him calling out in the background. Hey, y'all. They should actually work that in when you activate something. It just goes, hey, y'all, and then it fades away. Just a suggestion. So let's talk about what Apple Card is. First of all, I know many of you know this already, but let's just run over the basics. So it's a digital card, primarily, that lives in the wallet app on your phone. But it also has a physical card that you can use if the vendor doesn't accept Apple Pay. So if you want to use it like a normal credit card. The credit card itself, both the digital version and the physical version, are beautiful. They're whited out, completely white, and they have some really nice design touches on them. The physical card itself is actually made from solid titanium. It's laser etched with your information on it. And Lewis, would you like to hear what it sounds like when someone drops a titanium Apple card onto a granite surface?
Absolutely.
Get your ears ready for this. Ready?
Yeah.
That's an Apple card. That's an Apple card dropping onto a granite countertop. Kind of sounds like a metal plate or something. So it's got a real solid feel to it, which is great. Very cool, right? It's going to make you feel special. I know a lot of us appreciate good design, and we like having things that are well-designed in our life, but this is a credit card, right? It's got to do more for you than just look cool, right? So what is it going to give you? Well, it gives you 2% cash back on all purchases that you make when you pay with Apple Pay. So if you pay with Apple Pay, you get 2% back on that purchase, which is actually pretty good. You only get 1% cash back when you use the physical card. So if you're out and you are at a restaurant, use the physical card, that's 1% cash back. If you shop at the Apple Store, regardless if you use Apple Pay or the Apple Card, you get 3% cash back. A little cool tidbit is when you use the Apple Card to make purchases, the digital version, it gets hit with like this ink color, And so the more you use it, the more it changes colors. You can actually see an example of this in the video that MKBHD did. There's way too many letters in that acronym. I think it was his video where I saw that. So it's like a cool little touch.
Yeah.
In the app itself, it's beautifully designed. It categorizes all of your purchases. You can see maps of where your purchases were made, and it helps you understand how much interest you'll pay if you don't pay off your balance right away. That's actually one of the main features of the app, is it tries to help you understand how much interest you're going to be paying, and if you don't pay off your balance right away, how much interest you'll be paying each month, how long it will take you to pay off your card. Of course, one of the marquee features is you get cash back daily, which is actually pretty cool. So every day, at the end of the day, you get a refund of whatever, 2%, 1%, whatever you earned that day, you get that cash back right away. Although, they didn't say how returns work. If you return something like a month later, do they deduct that app, that refund from your account? They didn't say. I would imagine that they do, but that's one question that I have. Mm-hmm. And then one of the other big features, no fees, not even late fees.
Yeah,
the only fee they charge you is interest. And according to all the material that I've been reading, they have a really high approval rate. So even subprime borrowers are being approved. So it seems like pretty much everyone who's applying for the card, unless they have really, really bad credit, is getting approved for the card. So let's talk about the cons now. Now, I think there are a significant amount of cons using the Apple Card. In fact, I won't bury the lead here. I was trying to figure out who is the Apple Card for. And what I decided is it's really best for people who maybe don't have the best credit and are not people who don't always pay their balance on time. Because if you're not getting hit with late fees, that's a pretty big benefit. And maybe need help understanding how much interest they're going to be paying because they're not paying off their credit card every single month. If you are paying off your credit card every single month, if you don't need help understanding how to pay off your card, which I think a lot of people just don't, they understand how credit cards work. And if you're kind of more of a savvy shopper, if you want your credit card to do more for you than what the Apple Card does, then there are a lot of other better cards that are out there, especially considering the app that Apple offers is really not a whole lot better than other finance apps that are out there already, like Mint. And I think there's another good one called Principal. And they give you a ton of insights into how you're spending your money. In fact, in many ways, they're better than the Apple Wallet app is at showing you how you're using your money. Plus, the Apple Card only gives you 2% cash back if you use Apple Pay. A lot of vendors don't accept Apple Pay. And 1% for a credit card is really, if you're using the physical card, is really not that great. There are a lot of other cashback cards that give you, 1% on everything, 2% on many things, even 3, 4% on some things. And the 3% Apple gives you on cashback for Apple purchases is only like 1 or 2% more than other cashback cards. So you're not really getting a lot of benefits from the card, from the Apple Card. There are a lot of other credit cards out there that will give you 4% back on gas purchases, 3% back on restaurant purchases, 2% back on everything, regardless if you're shopping online or with the physical card. There's just a lot of limitations with the Apple Card to get that 2%, and a lot of places don't accept Apple Pay, even now. I know they say it's accepted like 98.8% of places. I don't know what the actual number is.
I read 65.
Is it 65? Even that seems high to me because a lot of places that I go to seem like they don't accept it, but they always accept digital payments from Samsung phones for whatever reason, at least in my area. Maybe your area is better than mine, so you'll be able to earn that 2% cash back, in more places. But for me, it just doesn't seem like I'll be getting 2% all that often. I'll probably have to use the 1% cash back for the card as my primary cashback, especially when you're shopping online, because a lot of places don't take Apple Pay online, and I'm primarily shopping online. This is kind of a small quibble, but nonetheless, I wanted to mention it. The number, your credit card number, isn't actually on the card. It's only in the app. So if you're shopping online, you have to go into the app on your phone and dig out the number, which is kind of annoying. But let me talk about the two big issues that are probably going to keep me from getting the Apple Card, and I think these are two issues that are kind of a deal breaker. So first of all, no price protection. So a lot of the credit cards that I use, even though actually this feature is kind of being retired by many credit cards, will give you price protection up to a certain point. So if you buy something and the price changes within 2-3 months, I have credit cards that will refund me the difference in purchase price, which is a really handy feature that I've used before. But of course, the big one, the big kahuna, the one that I'm always looking for in my credit card, and unfortunately, it's becoming more and more rare these days, but there are still credit cards that offer this, is extended warranty, free extended warranty. My go-to credit card right now offers me 2 years of extended warranty on anything I purchase, which is a huge benefit when you're purchasing electronics, when you're purchasing anything that could fail, especially Apple stuff. So I've completely stopped buying Apple Care Plus because I have extended warranty provided via my credit card. Now, it doesn't cover accidental damage or anything, but it does cover, you know, anything else. And I don't drop my Macs very often, you know, so I don't really have to worry about that. And I think the Apple Care Plus on the phone is kind of a ripoff. Quite honestly, it's not really worth the price that they charge for it. So all that said, you look at the pros and cons of the Apple Card. I don't know about you, Lewis, but I've just kind of decided, yeah, this card, it's just not for me. It doesn't really offer me anything of value more than I'm already getting from my current financial apps. And the rewards are not nearly as good as the credit cards I already have. So what's the point for me? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I'm kind of in the same boat. I like the way it looks. I wouldn't mind having one. It would come in handy when you're ready to buy a new laptop and you get that 3% back. But yeah, I don't know. I didn't sign up. I just haven't got around to it. Got too many credit cards as it is.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of how I feel too. I already have a selection of credit cards that I use. Touching on your Apple cashback statement though, for Apple Store purchases, you can get 3% cash back with the Apple Card, but there are a lot of credit cards out there that will give you like 2% cash back. And then there are cashback sites that will give you an additional 1% cashback, you know, if you go to those sites before you shop at Apple. So that kind of negates 3% in my opinion.
Yeah.
Especially if you're getting a free 2-year extended warranty. You know, that extended warranty is really valuable.
That's worth something. Yeah.
You know, on a Mac?
I wonder if this is really aimed at like, you know, people getting their very first credit card. Because it does seem like it's like you're saying, it's kind of designed for those kind of people. And it seems like it would be a pleasant way to get your first credit card, right? I mean, it would be just one more thing that would kind of get you into their ecosystem and you just feel like you're, you know, on the Apple team, right?
And, you know, it wouldn't hurt Apple's bottom line if they were attracting people who maybe were getting their first credit card, and those people probably are not the same people who pay off their cards every month, and so they end up paying interest. You know, I don't know if Apple's making money on the interest. I would imagine they are. I'm sure Goldman Sachs is.
Yeah.
And I'm guessing they're splitting the interest in some way, so they're both making money off of it.
Yeah. I mean, to be honest, I think the most appealing part of it is the no fees, no late fees. I mean, because that's I tend to pay off my credit cards every month. I mean, but there have been times, actually, usually my wife does, you know, manages the actual payments.
Blame
right?
it on your wife. Here we go.
I set up auto pay.
That's what I do too.
That at least the minimum gets paid.
Yeah,
because I don't want to get hit with a late fee. But sometimes we go on vacation. And usually I come home before her because she's got more vacation time than me. And I might arrive and there might be a bill that hasn't been paid. And suddenly we've got a $40 fee. And it's like,
oh boy.
Gosh darn it. So that to me is a very appealing thing. And especially if you're, you know, a student, you know, maybe your money's a little tight or let's say, it arrives at inconsistent times. I mean, not getting a charge of late fee, that's huge, really.
Oh, yeah.
It's still not smart to carry a balance, but if you have to carry a balance, it's pretty awesome.
Anytime I've gotten charged a late fee, I always just call the credit card company and ask them to remove it. And because I pay my bills on time, they've never told me no, as long as you don't do it very often.
It's just one more pain in the butt,
right?
Though. I mean,
yeah, it is. I mean, I normally set up auto pay too, but every once in a while, or when I first get a credit card, you know, sometimes I'm being lazy and I just don't do it right away. But yeah, there's another credit card that I'm using. Maybe we can talk about this on a future show. We're not going to do it right now, but there's another credit card that I'm using that's pretty interesting. It's unlike any credit card I've ever used before. If you can't tell, I try out different credit cards sometimes. I don't do this a lot, but every once in a while I'll look at the marketplace and just say, what's available out there? What credit card should I be using? In fact, I just did a whole rejiggering of our credit cards, and I'm using completely different ones than I was a year ago, because Discover Card, I don't know what Discover Card was thinking. They used to be a great credit card company, and they did away with all of their benefits, and they were like, for your benefits, we're getting rid of some of these features that people don't use. Well, they got rid of everything that I was using the card for. They got rid of extended warranty. They got rid of price protection. They had this great program that gave you discounts at all these different vendors, including 5% cash back when you shopped at Apple, which is one of the primary reasons I had the card. And they just blew up their entire program, got rid of everything that I liked. And they promote how they have U.S.-based customer service as like a benefit. Like, if you call, you could talk to someone in the U.S. I don't want to call you. I don't want to talk to you. I want you to give me benefits that are relevant that I can actually use day in, day out. And so I'm done with them. I just completely wrote them off. I'm not using them anymore at all. So there you have it. The Apple Card. Not a bad card by any means. And if you shop with Apple Pay, it actually might be worth it for you to get an Apple Card, and especially if you're making a lot of stores from the Apple Store. But I mean, how many purchases can you possibly be making from the Apple Store? Is there anyone out there making more Apple Store purchases than I am, or you, or Leander? Unless you're working for a company and you're making, you know, $50,000, $60,000 worth of Apple purchases a year, maybe then it might be worth it. To get 3% cash back would be a big benefit. But most normal people, 3% cash back when you're buying a $1,000 laptop once every 4 years, or $1,500 laptop once every 3 or 4 years, it's really not that big of a draw, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Okay, let's move on. Let's talk about, I want to do this MoviePass story to wrap up, but there's one thing I wanted to mention real fast. Actually, two quick things. So I looked over to my right. I was driving Sunday, Lewis. I looked over to my right as I was driving. You know what I saw?
Bigfoot?
There was no Bigfoot there.
Dang.
It was an Apple Car.
Yeah?
An Apple Car with a giant mapping unit on the top, strapped to the top. And I was nice. Like, baby. I floored it. I got ahead of the guy, and I parked in the neighborhood, right? And I was just waiting for him, because I was like, I got to get on this map. Because they're going around, they're taking pictures, right? So the guy comes around the corner, and right when he's dropping by me, I drop trow, I bend over, and I flex. And I think my derriere was immortalized in the Capitol Hill neighborhood of Seattle for all to see. Just wait till they update those maps. Do you think they'll blur it out? I don't know if they have crack detection technology.
Wow, this could be your big chance, man.
This could be my big chance. If you guys see a well-defined, muscular as heck, gluteus maximus, and I think I was peeking out to the left, you know, like bottom left. I was like, hey, I don't know if I got my face in it. But if you see one of the Capitol Hill neighborhood, boom, you found me. It's going to be like a Where's Waldo. They got to have blur technology for that type of thing, don't you think?
Sure. You talk about a good task for artificial intelligence, machine learning.
There's some engineer out there, his primary responsibility is crack detection. He's just
delete.
He's got some algorithm that he's been working on for 5 years. He went to college for 10 years to learn about computer science and artificial intelligence, machine learning. And now he's using all of his skills to filter out all of the cracks of all the people who have mooned the Apple cameras. Well, this ties into a story. Apple Maps, the revamp maps are on the way. You guys probably heard about this last year. Apple announced their plans to rebuild its maps from the ground up with all of their own first-party data, which is great because I love using Apple Maps over Google since they're not tracking you and selling all your information. The look and feel of the new Apple Maps is similar, but zooming and panning around reveals a lot more details like grass, trees, sports fields, parking lots. And Apple's also trying to make their search results more relevant, which is a good thing. They've already rolled out new maps in Texas, Louisiana, and Southern Mississippi, Northern California, Hawaii, Southern California, Arizona, New Mexico, Las Vegas. But now they have these Apple maps, you know, going everywhere. So you might see them popping up in your neighborhood. Oh, they also did Washington, D.C., Maryland, Pennsylvania, New York, Massachusetts, and Maine. I don't know when they're going to be expanding to Europe. I actually kind of feel bad for our European listeners and especially our Brazilian listeners. They always get everything like a year after it's been released. Like we're talking about all this stuff and then it takes, you know, 6 months to a year for this stuff to be rolled out across Europe. I don't even know when our European listeners are getting the Apple Card. I should look that up. And I also wonder what the benefits for them actually are, if they're the same benefits that we have, because it seems like this whole program is tailored to the American marketplace, which, you know, is unfortunate if you don't live in America, but you know, it is what it is. What are you going to do, Lewis?
Shed a silent tear for them, I suppose.
Shed a sigh.
Sigh.
And then just shed a tear. Okay. Oh, one other thing I was going to mention. I got a video coming out on my YouTube channel this week. I was trying to get it out today, but I have a few more editing touches to put on it. If you're interested in the equipment and the software that I use to make the cult cast, I got a video coming out that you're really going to enjoy. I'm giving away all of my podcasting secrets. It's going to be my microphones, my microphone arm, the gear that I use to record the show, my gear preferences, the software that I use. It's all of it. The entire workflow of technology that I use to create the cult cast to make it sound as delicious as I do. This is years and years and years of experience and thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars that I've spent making these determinations. So I'll be putting that out on my cult cat or on my YouTube channel, youtube.com/Airfon Elijah. I'll put a link to that in the show notes, or you can just go on YouTube and type E-R-F-O-N and hit enter. Boom. Gadget Hunter, top search result, glaring right at you. So that video will be coming out soon. Okay. Let's talk about MoviePass. The MoviePass saga, it is stranger than I ever thought, Lewis. I saw this story this week. In fact, I want to thank everyone who reached out to me on Twitter. I've never had more people reach out to me with a specific story. You reached out to me, Lewis. I probably had 25 people reach out to me via Twitter and email to tell me about this Business Insider story, the definitive story of how a controversial Florida businessman blew up MoviePass and burned hundreds of millions of dollars. There were some great tidbits that were sprinkled throughout the story, stuff that, well, you're not going to believe. Maybe you will believe. So let's start here. It's 2017, April 2017. The MoviePass empire is starting to crumble. The service is being plagued with quote-unquote technical issues. We'll touch more upon those in just a moment. And many people are still waiting to get their MoviePass card. It was taking, you know, months to get their cards, so they couldn't go to the movies. But it turns out that some of these issues weren't actually bugs, as they say, Lewis. They were features. The MoviePass plan was simple, the master plan. Because they used to charge a lot of money for the plan. It was like $50 to $100 a month in select markets. Well, they decided to do something genius. Drop the price down to $9.99, pack the service with users, and then do an IPO. So make a bunch of money on the stock market and then grow to be big and powerful enough where they can negotiate with the movie theaters to get a cut of the movie tickets that they were selling or get their prices lowered. But the service had a big, big problem. Power users, Lewis. Power users.
Did you know any of those?
You know what? Technically, according to this definition that I'm going to read you, I was not a power user. I was like a prosumer user. Uh-oh. But according to their definition, I was not a power user. So according to the Motion Picture Association of America, the average moviegoer goes to the movies 5 times a year. The power users on MoviePass would go to the movies every single day. To that, I would say, well, what did you expect people to do? The reason people go 5 times a year is because of simple economics, supply and demand. They have to pay $15 to go to the movie theater. So you lower the price, what do? They go more often because now all of a sudden they have something that they're getting for free and they're motivated to go as often as possible because every time they go, their ticket price is decreased, right? If you go to a movie every day, the price per ticket is lower than someone who sees a movie twice a month. Mitch Lowe, the company's CEO, he dreaded the company's power users, those high-volume movie pass customers who are taking advantage of the low monthly price, taking advantage. Come on. They were billing it as unlimited movies, constantly going to the movies and effectively cleaning out the company. One MoviePass employee said, before Mitch Lowe, the CEO, came on board, the credo was, how do we slow down these power users? But after Mitch Lowe became CEO, his position was, F these guys. The F word. F those guys. He was determined to figure out a way to not let those people see as many movies as they were. And this explains so much. Per Lowe's orders, MoviePass began doing all sorts of zany things. They were limiting subscriber access to movies. For example, in April, ahead of the Avengers Infinity War movie, multiple employees said they were pulling popular movie availability from the app. They were planning and unplanning outages. So like you would go to the movie theater and the app just wouldn't work, which I had happen to me. I don't know if that was a bug or not, but it seems like maybe some of these things were actually planned to get people to not use the app as much as they were. There were app loading issues, but here's the biggest one. Here's the one that I was initially surprised by, but then I tapped my temple and I was like, he's a genius. Mitch Lowe, according to employees, had a small percentage of power users. He had the team go in and change their passwords so they couldn't get in to the actual MoviePass app and they couldn't use the app to buy movie tickets. Now, you might say, oh, dude, we'll just go in and change the password. I had an instance where I had to reach out to MoviePass customer service. They owed me money. So actually what happened was I went to the movie theater. The app didn't work. And the FAQ says, we'll just buy a movie ticket and then we'll pay you back for it. So I did that, thinking they were going to pay me back. I had to reach out to them probably weekly for 3 months. I never got a single reply until the very end where I threatened to cancel my MoviePass subscription. Boom, within 2 days, I had a refund for that movie ticket.
God,
their customer service was non-existent. There was nothing you could do. So if you were using MoviePass, if you're part of the MoviePass army like I was, and you were having problems using the app, getting into your account, you were having problems accessing movies inside the app, and they just kept saying, oh, it's a bug. We're trying to work it out. From this story, it kind of seems like those bugs, they were features. They were doing those things on purpose, Lewis.
And if this crap's true, they should put that guy in jail, like right now. I'm serious.
Yo, come on.
He's a criminal. He's a criminal.
I don't know about jail. I mean, they should definitely fire him. I think they should put him out in the town square and people should throw tomatoes at him and there's like some old lady going, boo, boo. And then they should just whip him. How about that?
Jeffrey Epstein's looking for a cellmate.
Oh, you had to take it there. Oh my God.
I had to. I don't like this kind of crap, man. You're abusing you work at a company that has a ridiculous business plan, and so you just screw over customers?
Yeah, I know.
You should go to jail for that.
Yeah, of course he won't. He'll probably get like a $10 million golden parachute, and he'll go back to Netflix after all this. I think the funniest part of this story is that during this whole debacle, while MoviePass was running out of money, they decided to sponsor Coachella, and they had like some big Coachella event that cost them $1 million, and they were letting people who had a MoviePass, you could flash your MoviePass and like get into this concert event for free at Coachella. That was their big idea of promotion. Do you remember they were sending emails of like the MoviePass dog?
Right. Yeah. Crazy. In the middle of all that. Yeah. It was so inept.
Well, I think MoviePass is going to be out of business any day. They're not even taking on any new customers anymore. I think they're on their way out. So for those of you, I know a lot of you enjoy these movie pass stories. Some of you can't stand them. So I think this might actually be the end. This might actually be the very last one. But I feel like there needs to be a movie pass movie or a movie pass book, a tell-all book, because this is one of the greatest sagas in American business history. I've thoroughly enjoyed every minute of it. And you know what? I feel like I got my money's worth. So I'm thoroughly happy. But let's go ahead and wrap it up there, Lewis. What do you say? I think the folks have had enough Coldcast. And the folks have had enough Coldcast for one day. That's all the Coldcast we have for you guys this week. If you want to come say hi or talk to us about any of the stories we mentioned on today's show, we would love to hear from you. I'm at Erfon, E-R-F-O-N on Twitter. Lewis is at Lewis Wallace. This has been the Coldcast, the best 30-plus minute album conversation you're going to hear all week long. New episodes of the Coldcast come out every Thursday night. I want to thank everyone for listening, and we'll see you guys next time. Whew. It's not easy to go low like that, Lewis, and still have it be loud. You know what I'm saying? You try it.
Yeah, I do not have a low voice.
I don't have a low voice.
Yeah, I can't do it.
That's pretty good, though. That was definitely like a 7 out of 10.
You must crave when I
come. you got lower than I thought you would.
Well, I am pretty low to the ground.
Well, there's that. I know who could never get a low sound to his voice. Alex Heath. His voice is much too... His larynx is much too small. He could never do it. It's dainty. It doesn't have the power that our larynxes have. Wouldn't you agree?
Well, no comment. I can't tell.
You can't comment on former employees.
Yeah, I feel like I should probably stand up.
Yeah? Are you that tired?
I'd hate to fall asleep.
What are you doing? You're shredding your credit card statement over there?
That's the standing desk.
Oh. Oh, you are going to. You're going to stand.
Yeah, baby.
Get those calves flat. Flex them. Flex them up and down.
Getting out my Freddie Mercury-style microphone stand. I'm ready to strut.
Now all you need is that unitard that he wore. What was it, like a three-quarter unitard where it was like the bottom sections all the way up to your midriff, and then it just turns into suspenders. Where do you even buy such unitards?
Oh, God. Ballet shop. Yeah. That was a real good look.
That's where it came from. How do you go from wearing... This is the true Freddie Mercury Queen story that we've never been told. How do you go from being a normal guy to... shopping at the ballet spandex store for your streetwear and then wearing just the unitard without a shirt underneath? Because you're supposed to have like a frilly shirt on underneath. But he never wore that. It was just, of course, he had a Buster Heine level chest piece where it didn't matter if he was wearing a shirt because he had such a thicket of hair up there, you know?
He was his own man.
He was like two men put in one.